It's The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and so glad to be with you this Tuesday. President Donald Trump has pushed freshman Congresswoman Ilhan Omar back in the headlines, this time for comments in a speech she gave at the Council on American-Islamic Relations, or CAIR, last month. The president tweeted her comments out of context alongside images of the 9/11 attack, fanning the flames of growing anger towards Omar, especially from conservatives. He continued his attack last night at a KSTP interview in Minnesota.
She's been very disrespectful, frankly, to Israel. She is somebody that doesn't really understand, I think, life, real life. It's unfortunate. She's got a way about her that's very, very bad, I think, for our country. I think she's extremely unpatriotic and extremely disrespectful to our country.
Omar, along with Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib from Michigan, is one of the first two Muslim women to be elected to Congress ever. They are also some of the few women of color to have served in Congress. So those attacks are taking a deeper tone than the regular partisan vitriol that's characterized much of recent U.S. politics. Omar spoke about this dynamic with Stephen Colbert last week and how she doesn't always feel defended even by her own side.
It's the same that I expect. So when you have people on Fox News that question whether I'm actually American or I put America first, I expect my colleagues to also say that's not okay. Like that they should, you know, that because I'm a Muslim, I'm an immigrant, I'm a refugee, that I can't have any loyalty to our country. I took an oath.
Omar's office has reported a spike in death threats against the Congresswoman since President Trump retweeted the inflammatory video. Congresswoman Tlaib responded in defense.
They do this all the time to us, especially women of color. They do that. They take our words out of context because they're afraid, because we speak truth. We speak truth to power.
But for some observers, this is just another example of women of color in positions of power being attacked and mistreated, used for political gain, sometimes even by their peers and those along the same ideological lines. Donna Edwards is with us. She represented Maryland for 10 years in the U.S. House of Representatives, and she's a contributing columnist to The Washington Post. And Andrea Benjamin is a political science professor at the University of Missouri in Columbia. Thank you both for your time. Donna, let's start with you. Congresswoman Edwards, you were the first Black woman to represent Maryland in Congress. Did you meet any resistance to your presence once you arrived in D.C.?
Well, I think all the time, and sometimes in really big ways and others in small ways. I think, you know, my experience in the Congress was particularly speaking out on issues of foreign policy, most specifically around Israel and Palestine, that I came under attack all the time. And that was not new. I mean, I think if you look at the history of a number of women of color, Black women in the Congress, that was true for many of them as well. And so, you know, I think when, especially on foreign policy, when you're quote, not in your box. You know, it's okay to talk about, you know, food stamps and criminal justice and issues that, quote unquote, are, you know, sort of in the wheelhouse of people of color, then that's fine. But then you start talking about foreign policy or larger domestic policy and you're not in your box. And I think there are people both within the party and outside who make sure that you know that.
Congresswoman, I want to follow up on that because I think a lot, there are many professional women of color in particular who would agree. Going back to what the president said earlier in the segment about Representative Omar, he used terms like disrespectful, unpatriotic, and essentially saying she, quote unquote, doesn't understand life. That goes beyond policy.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, it's very personal. And, you know, to say that someone who came to the United States as a refugee, who suffered under, you know, difficult conditions and has made and built a life here and then run for Congress to represent her district, to say, one, that she's unpatriotic, but, you know, two, that she doesn't understand life. I think, you know, if anything, the president doesn't understand life and the lives that we lead. And I think he used the phrase our country as though somehow it's not her country, too. And I think that this characterization of women of color, of anyone who's sort of outside the norm as them and us, is something that the president does quite intentionally. And for women of color, it sticks very brutally. And I do agree with Congresswoman Omar that not many in our party have come to her defense. And we ought to, because frankly, any of us could be on the, chopping block of the president or anyone else. And it's ironic that the discussion, centers around this group of women of color. But you have Representative Steve King from Iowa, and he just kind of skates by. Sure, he's lost his committee positions, but he continues to say inflammatory things, and you never hear the president or others in the leadership really denounce him.
Professor Benjamin, I want to bring you in here because we know, as we've mentioned already, that there have been far and few, not just Muslim women in Congress, but women of color in Congress. And we've just heard Congresswoman Edwards describe some of those challenges. Professor, how is what we're seeing today in terms of tone, context, and tenor different from what we've seen historically? Or is it different from what we've seen historically?
I'm not sure if it's different historically. I think the context is different. Obviously, many of us were really excited to look at this incoming class of congresspeople. It's the most diverse it's ever been, and yet it still looks pretty bad. So I think in that sense, these numbers are going up, and so there is this feeling of change, right? And let's be clear, and let's give them the credit that's due them. They ran pretty aggressively. They already didn't follow the rules, because I know each one of these freshman women was probably told, it's too soon, it's not your time. And they said, okay. Some of them took out incumbents. Some of them are representing, majority white districts. So they've already sort of challenged the status quo. And so now that they're there, right, they're working from a position of, let me try to keep the promises I made to my constituents. And so I don't expect them to change. What I think is happening is that we're just relying on old school stereotypes, right? So as former Congresswoman Edwards said, right, if this were a man doing these things, they would be described as assertive, not aggressive, entrepreneurial, not being able to follow directions, right? So I think it's just this sort of strange place where stereotypes are easy to tap into, and that's what's being used, right? There's nothing about Congresswoman Omar that shows that she's not patriotic or un-American. She's seen a lot more than many of us, right? And still, she answered the call to serve in this capacity. She could have done a lot of other things, but this was the capacity that she chose to serve. It's obviously not easy. Her life is being threatened. I view that as pretty patriotic. And again, I think it's just the intersection of these stereotypes, right, that all Muslims are terrorists. And that's just not true, right? But it's easy to use. And that's what's happening here.
And also, Professor, I'd love to broaden this a little bit beyond Congress. I mean, it's no secret that not just our Congress is lacking in diversity, specifically when it comes to women of color, but the rest of our society in positions of leadership is also lacking that. Corporate board seats, for example, some of the highest levels and the highest jobs in this country are also really lacking in diversity. So how much of what we're talking about here applies to most, if not all, women of color in positions of power, Professor?
I think it applies pretty broadly. Obviously, I'm in a particular discipline, political science, and, sometimes when I think about it, there's so few of us, right? And so when I stand in front of the classroom, students say, oh my goodness, you're my first professor that's a person of color. You're my first professor that's a woman. And so I already know that we're not represented. And again, I think there are just challenges, and these stereotypes affect women of color across all walks of life, right? Again, when we speak clearly, oh, we're aggressive, right? I mean, the stereotypes are just so easy to use that when we express dissatisfaction, oh, we're angry, right? And so I think that for most women of color that are watching this unfold at this level of the Congress, they probably have their own stories where these stereotypes have been used against them as well. So I think in a broader sense, this is not new to most women of color, especially those of us who strive to be in positions of power, but even just in our day-to-day lives, I think that this is just in general, right? That we've sort of tried to reach beyond our means and we're trying to get out of our particular lane, right?
And I'm wondering if we could even talk about how we get past this. And I think it's unfair to ask women of color to solve the problem that they haven't created, but how do we get past this, whether it's in Congress or not?
Sure. I mean, at the end of the day, it is your constituents who reelect you. So it doesn't really matter what the rest of the country thinks. So if these, young women are serving their constituents, they will be reelected, and eventually seniority will put them into power. So again, this notion that they have to play the right way, I don't know that I agree with that. The other piece is, I study campaigns, and one thing that people can do is they can campaign to win. Sometimes they campaign to put issues on the table, and there'll be no denying whatever happens with this class's reelection, that they put issues on the table. And I think that maybe for some of them, that's good enough. So I don't know that they're thinking about it the same way that we historically have. What do I think needs to change? I mean, I agree it shouldn't be on the backs of women of color, but unfortunately, we have to be willing to serve when asked. And I mean that in a lot of capacities, right? Whether it's elected office or we're willing to be the one face on the board, right? Because when you're the only one, it can be really challenging. But as Congresswoman Edwards said, I mean, sort of you have to sort of be willing to do those things, really to set the tone and let other people know that this is a space for us.
Congresswoman, I want to bring you back in here because I wonder if what we're seeing today, these women are also not backing down. There isn't a sense of, you know, being intimidated by a lot of these attacks. In fact, they seem to be addressing these issues head on. In your experience, is that an effective tool for D.C., for Washington, for Congress?
Well, I think it's complicated. I mean, I was described as an aggressive legislator, and that wasn't in the positive sense. It was used as a negative, and I think it can cut against you. It can cut against you in terms of your relationship with your colleagues. I think these women are experiencing that. But you know what? It's a risk worth taking, because otherwise the alternative is just to stay in your place and be quiet. And I think what these women are saying is that they're not willing to do that, that the importance of their representation means that they are called to serve and called to speak out. And, you know, look, I ran for the U.S. Senate and I was attacked for playing quote unquote identity politics. And I used to say to people all the time, my identity is my politics, my experience as a Black woman, my experience as a person in the workplace, my experience as a single mom. These are my identities, and I should be able to use that in my politics. And I think the same is true for these particular women. And you know, the more that they stand up, the more they pave a way for other women to come and join them, because there is power in numbers. And what you can see here is, you know, the attacks are coming all ways, but they have to single out. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or an Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib, but they represent a space that's really for all of us. And, you know, I just applaud them. And every time I get a chance, whether it's on social media or on television or the radio, I always, you know, make sure that I point to their achievements and to their voices, because I think they need backup. And some of us can be part of that backup.
Donna Edwards is a congresswoman who represented Maryland for 10 years in the U.S. House of Representatives. Congresswoman, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And Andrea Benjamin is a political science professor at the University of Missouri in Columbia. Thanks to you, Andrea.
Thank you for having me.
And are you a woman of color professional who's wanted to share your stories? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE if you feel supported or if you don't. We'd love to hear from you.